Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. Here's the deal. I may not do a good enough job, but you should want to visit Johnston by the way that I speak about it. And when I say Johnston proper, it should give you the whiz-bang feel that you are just not getting the most out of life until you've come to where we are at, sitting in the chairs that we are in, and speaking of the things that we are speaking of. And I feel like I've underwhelmed in that area, and I swear to everyone that I will change my ways in a couple years. So you're listening live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. Hey, man, the King's MC is back. He's a traveling man. And what you do with a traveling man is you put out the old net when he drives by, and then you just rope him right into the program. And then since you have a net and he doesn't have a knife, he's stuck here. And so he's on the program. Him and Michelle are both here tonight, and we're excited to kind of hear about what's going on in their lives. They've started a cult. That's the rumor.
And we got that out of the way.
Yeah, so if you can, we'll catch that up in just a minute. But I'm interested. I've always been interested in joining a cult, and
what?
Maybe yours is compelling. And so now, Booba, what you have this? Here's the thing: you're a judgmental hypocrite.
I am indeed.
Because when you hear cult, you think bad things.
I do. Yes.
So let me ask you this: the thing. I mean,
enlighten me. I'd like to know.
Hypothecate with me. Let's say there
isn't hypothesize.
Listen here. You're not allowed in the cult if you're going to act like this.
All right, cool.
So, we're hypothecating. So, what if you were just said, hey, we're a bunch of fellas that love peanut butter and croissants.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet every few weeks and talk about that stuff, and we're going to call it
Peanut Butter Croissant Crusade.
Peanut Butter Croissant Cult. What are your thoughts?
As long as we can change cult to crusade.
Why can't you just say cult?
I like crusade better.
So, here's the deal. Herrick,
I'm pretty sure if you're doing a crusade, you've got some kind of military agenda involved in this.
Yeah,
this
we do. We can't stand people who don't put peanut butter on their croissants.
No. We're for peace, Booba. We're
not in the same cult then.
All right, you're right.
This is the militant wing of the peanut butter.
All right,
group, I guess. All right.
All right. I don't know. Okay, maybe I don't understand the way cults work. But anyway, I'm in.
Not only did you start a cult, but apparently a splinter group has just sprung off.
Yeah, we're a lot stronger, a lot tougher, and a lot more to action.
I can't handle my own cult. It's already split for me and turned militant.
So,
no wonder the church is in shambles.
I always understood a cult as simply a small religion. Basically, it just has not grown big enough yet, or a religion that has just gotten so small that it deviates from the norm.
But no one would brand themselves a cult if that was the case. It would seem derogatory.
Well, yeah, but it like in Spanish, that's kind of the derivative word for, like, say, a worship service is a culto.
That's what I'm saying. That's me. Okay. A culto.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Hey, man, does that mean I have to worship the croissants?
No, you're out. You're not part of the cult. You're part of some sort of weird movement that got violent.
The Crusades.
Here's the deal. If we can't, if we break peace over croissants and peanut butter, there shall be no peace. That's the root of it.
All right.
So anyway, I'm very much interested in your cult because I'm in the market for a new one. Mine didn't work out. So we're gonna catch up with you guys. Hold on, I was googling cult just to see what the Wikipedia says in English. A cult is a religious or social group with socially deviant or novel beliefs and practices. Well, I'm the novel. I'm the novel beliefs and practices with the peanut butter. And the
Booba's the deviant.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm the deviant.
We got both.
Hey, that's a way to fulfill the definition, Booba. That's a way to slide right in there.
You know, I'm pretty sure that Jesus kind of paints himself in this tone when he says that, you know, I'm the narrow road. I'm not the broad road. So that automatically puts him in the...
It's a cult.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people are butter and jam. Yeah. Peanut butter all the way.
All right, here's the other thing. I've had some... I had a new child born last week. Woo-hoo! In fact, the day of the show last week. The child was born, and so I've had a week to kind of sit on this thing, and I have two other kids, but there's just been some things that are kind of rolling around in my mind, like they're not lessons from having another baby, they're just things that pop into your mind when there's new life, you know
Go
what I'm saying?
On. Do tell.
So we're gonna hit those. I got a couple of those, and we're gonna talk about those here in a little bit. And I can't remember, did you say you had Pope style or not Pope style?
I have a question from the new believer.
You have a question, but wait, give me a preview on it.
How can I be a Christian and be on dating sites that aren't Christian dating sites? Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Is that a legit question?
It is a legit question, yeah.
I love this question. Okay. New Believer says, how can I... Can I use non-Christian dating sites?
Yeah, because so far, I'm not good at this stuff.
Wait, is this you?
Yeah, this is me. Yeah, no, that's it's totally me. I joined a website this week, and I have identified myself as a Christ follower, and so far, we'll see how that turns out.
Right. You should have stayed in
and
the Philippines.
Crusader.
I feel like you had you could have done it without the website in the Philippines. That's you the had
truth.
Ladies.
I, that's the truth. I can't deny that.
You
I
just
need,
to,
I
need move.
To go back to the Philippines.
All right.
So we're starting a fund to send Buva back to the Philippines.
Hey, man, do it. I'll go.
How much does this website cost?
It doesn't cost me anything right now. It's an application that I use that the startup to it is free. If you want like the further advantages to the site, there's some things that you can do that I can't do because I don't pay.
Wait, like what?
So you match up with people, and if someone says they want to meet you in this matchup thing, it doesn't actually show their profile. The only way you can like really meet up with them or match up with them is if you are going through the list of names or the list of pictures and you find that person. But if you upgrade this program,
yeah,
you're able to just see immediately the profile of the person that says I want to meet you.
This thing's like, doesn't that seem like Priceline.com? Where you say, I'm looking for a hotel up to 4 stars, but they refuse to tell you like what the hotel is. Yeah, and you just have to agree to stay there.
I think my dating life has definitely helped because I don't refer to women as hotels, though. So, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on that one, but I feel like I'm in the right on that piece. So I just want to talk a little bit about how that works and how I can do this, because it's turned into more I want to speak to people about Jesus than I want to date any of these people.
Well, that's going to be awkward.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I'm looking for long walks on the beach into the church. You're right, but that's going to work. Anyway, this is my girlfriend condominium. all right. Short story. I once, as an impressionable young man, there was an innocence about me that the world had not yet tainted, and I was trying to say condo. And I may have been continuing to say condom to my grandma when I was like 10. Like I was describing a friend of mine that lived in a condom. And I must have said it 15 times and they were laughing at my story, and I thought, "Come on, I'm just a guy trying to share a story.
This is not funny.
What
are you laughing at?
What do you think you're so, I mean my grandma was living in a trailer park at the time, and I thought, "Where is this hoity-toity laughing at the person that lives in the condom? I don't know what's the matter with you." And so, but it turned out that I was in the wrong in this matter.
And years later, you became a talk radio show host.
I never made that mistake again. And they explained it to me, and I didn't quite understand the gist of what they were talking about, but I just knew that I should not continue to refer to people living in it. And so I kind of moved on. So anyway, things you think about when new life has come.
Wow.
Don't mess up condo and condominium. Now, see how that makes sense? That's a legitimate thing a guy can make a mistake on.
As well as condiments.
All right, yeah.
I may have confused that at the past.
Where do you keep the condiments? That's rough times, man.
What did I know?
All right. Here's the deal. If you're listening to the show right now in your car and you're like, eh. Now here's the deal. Are you telling me that people that love Jesus don't say the word condom? Because, I mean, off a high horse, friend. It's just what happens. I was an impressionable 10-year-old. Write the radio station, all right? If you really enjoy that type of conversation, infolife@path.org. I like positive things. I like positive things, might I say. I love that condom bit. All right. Speaking of other things, I'm interested in this cult. All right. All right, Eric. Tell me, what's going on? How did you start a cult?
I don't know that we actually did start a cult.
Oh, man. I really built this thing.
Yeah, you built it up.
I think it's great that you bring that up, though, because I actually have a book about it. No joke.
Oh, yeah.
You have a book about how to start a cult?
Yeah. No, not how to start a cult. But
oh,
okay.
You know, I'll let Eric clean that one
do you,
up.
Do you at least have a website? Does your cult have a website?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's teamkingmc.com.
Okay, well, that's for your legit music. Tell me, we were talking
earlier. That's where my followers go.
Okay. Why am I under the impression you have a cult? What has happened to you this week?
Okay. So this week, God showed up in major, major ways. We had a show in Anaconda, Montana. I don't know if you've heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Thumbs up.
All right. And That was on Wednesday. And on Friday, we had to be in Pipestone, Minnesota. But the thing is, we had no money and we had no gas while we were in Montana. And so we had the show that night and we thought, you know, God's going to rain down money on us and it's going to be awesome. That did not happen. Uh-huh. There was a drought that night. And so so there was no money overflowing for us that evening. So we ended up going back to our host home, and we just knew that God was going to provide because he wanted us to go to Minnesota. And someone showed up at the house, knocked on the door, and donated some money to us at that moment. And we're like, wow.
Is this a person you knew, or where'd they come from?
They were friends of the host family.
Oh, sweet.
And then the next day, the next morning before we left, the same thing happened again. So we had enough money for a tank of gas, and we had a Subway gift card, and so that covered food, and we were able to get to Rapid City, South Dakota. At that point, we had, again, had nothing to move on. As soon as we pulled into Rapid City, South Dakota, we went to Walmart to get Wi-Fi, and Michelle's checking her messages, and somebody had made an online donation to us. And so we again now had gas money to get to Minnesota the next day. So we knew that God really wanted the show in Minnesota to happen. So we were excited. We went and stayed with the host family there, and we were telling them, and we were, whatever happens, whether there's a billion people at the event tomorrow, whether there's no people, we're still going to worship God. We're going to praise his name. So the next day, it wasn't the billion people that were there. It was the no people that were there. The show was...
Wait, when you say no people, is this like a dozen?
No, I'm not lying. Talking? Okay, let me tell you this. Okay, the only people that were there were Michelle, myself, our dog, Cordy. You remember Cordy.
I remember Cordy.
Today's her birthday. Today's her birthday, by the way.
Oh, right. Cordy loves
happy
boobies.
Birthday, but so she'll hate me. She'll hate me if I say happy birthday right. to her.
So there's Michelle, me, Cordy, the DJ, and the DJ's parents. Uh-huh. That was it at the event. And it was in the park. And so it was a 3-hour event. And we're like, okay, we're going to do this. We committed. God brought us here. He wants us here. We're going to do this. And for the first 2.5 hours, not another person was there besides the people I just mentioned. The last half hour, a group of neighborhood kids came over and started watching us. And most of them were in and out. They were just walking back and forth, doing whatever. But there were these two little girls. And I'm sorry, I'm probably going to end up start crying here. But there are these two little girls, about 8 years old, and one of them stuck out to me, and her and I started talking, and she's just talking to me about how she's bullied every day. She goes to school, how she's bullied every day. And I got to tell her about my experiences with bullying also, because as I mentioned earlier to you guys before, I'm a geek, so
right.
that hasn't changed, that it was the same in high school. I got bullied. So I got to talk to her about this, and I don't say this to brag, I only say this to brag about God, but I got to tell her that she was beautifully made in his image, and that he loved her, and that he sent me there to tell her that. And she understood, and for the rest of the evening, she just danced her heart out, and it was amazing. And it was like, that just showed to me God's faithfulness, not only in providing for us to get to Minnesota, but that parable of where Jesus talks about leaving the 99 sheep to go after the one. He sent us there to Pipestone, Minnesota, to tell this girl how much he loved her. And what she does with that, I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully we gave her our contact information. If she ever feels she's in that situation again, to just give us a call. But hopefully
you know, no matter what happens in her life, she now knows that God loves her and that she can look back on this and maybe this impacts and changes her life and then ends up changing her community and the process. But God was so cool with that.
Boy, yeah, that's really neat to see how God has paved the way, really. Like think of your life as walking down an unfinished sidewalk, and you're just kind of waiting for God to kind of lay the pieces, lay the bricks as you go where you're going, and to see kind of that path culminate in that way. And it's kind of a fortunate thing, because it sometimes, and I think we've even had this within the realms of the folks that are on the show, is sometimes we get to see the sidewalk, but we actually don't ever get a real good taste of where it ended, or what happened, or what God was even doing in that circumstance. So it's very cool to kind of be a part of that moment where we actually get to see that culminate in something and see where God's hand has been actually up to something, and see the life that it impacted, because so often that doesn't feel like it gets to be the case.
That's funny, because when I was first listening, I thought this was going to be a story about King MC and how awesome he is. And I realized by the end that it's a story about God and how much he loves this little girl. And it's like, oh, okay, wow. And you guys get a chance to witness and see God work firsthand. It's like, what a cool life.
It's one heck of an indication of God's, the way he does things. When was the last time you paid a couple $100 to tell someone to go say to somebody else, hey, tell that person I love them?
Yeah,
God
yeah.
works in that all the time. He's like, hey, I want you to travel across a couple states. I'll provide the money. Don't worry about that. I just need you to tell somebody I love them. Just real quick. Not a long process, not a long drawn out thing. Just say, hey, I love you.
Yeah, boy, think of the, and this is putting it in too worldly of a terms, right? But think, let's say you worked for like a crazy rich philanthropist, and his only deal was he just sat around and sends you on errands that says, hey, go help that guy out, or go tell that guy I care about him. And you might be in Belize one day, you might be heading down to the come and go the next, just to hang out there. And like, that is actually our reality.
Yeah, we witness for an eccentric billionaire. That's what we do. That is our entire life. That's what we do. Go witness for an eccentric billionaire for a couple of years, and then he'll say hi to you.
What a cool experience. And like, and you guys can speak to this simply by the nature of the life that you're currently living, because you're kind of at the whim of the king's business, right? Like what it is that you're going about doing, where it is like he really could send you anywhere and have you in just about doing anything, using the skills and things that he's given you. And so maybe just to kind of refresh everybody, talk a little bit about like what is your life like? Because you guys came from. Like you're traveling around, you're in the van. Like, what is your life like? So people can have an idea of the perspective that you kind of bring to even that circumstance.
You want to do that? No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's what it's like a lot. But
I'll take a different question.
Okay. So it's crazy. It's living on faith and just being able to go wherever God calls us to go. And I can't even describe it too much. I don't know. It's I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it's scary. It's scary a lot of times, because that's one of the things that God is working on me is completely trusting him. You know, here we were, he told us to go to Minnesota. I didn't know how that was going to happen. We even, as we pulled up to the host home that night, we're like, so how do you think God's going to do this? I mean, he told us to go to Minnesota, so it's now his problem to make that happen. Yeah. It's not my problem to make that happen or to force that to happen. And yeah, it's great. There's a lot of times, a lot of shows that we go to, they're very generous to us as far as providing a place to stay, feeding us, or even with financial provision. And a lot of times they're not. And we've experienced both. But that's not what, you know, God called us to do, is go to only the places that give you money, food, and shelter. He's like, I'll provide all that for you. He's like, I set up these shows. I want you to go to and do these shows. I gave you this gift.
this is what you're going to do with this gift.
Interesting. Like, it's just, I don't know, it smacks of the simplicity of saying when God says he's going to handle things, he's going to handle things, right? And it's, I like what you said, we're talking about understanding what are God's problems, right? And I think even as Christians, we want to take things that are God's deal and make them our deal, and then we get frustrated when they're not working out, or when we're invested in what they look like. Like, we expect something to go one way or the other, it doesn't go that way, and then we're disappointed in ourselves, or we had this wrong expectation of what God was going to do, as opposed to saying, God, this is kind of your deal, you do what you want with it, and then just be confident that God is ultimately faithful in that deal, and he'll handle it on his own accord, and it's not really ours to kind of fuss with him about. Which is interesting, because I think it clogs up a lot of how we think about life, because we've piled so much on that is actually kind of God's responsibility. Like, it's his to handle, and if it's the king's business, we don't have any reason going about and trying to take it from him and saying, no, we'll handle this and we'll do it correctly, and then you will be happy, when he's like, why'd you take my business? You don't have any reason stealing the stuff. You handle what I gave you, and I will handle the rest.
Right, and not to play it off like this is an easy thing to do, to give it to God and let God handle it, but, I mean, think of it from his perspective. So Montana to Minnesota... In our perspective, yeah, it's a couple states moving, you know, not having the money and all that stuff. God looks at it as, you have to move a little bit on one of the rocks I created in this entire universe.
Right.
Hey, sorry, let me send you some money. You'll be fine. Just let me handle that. And it's to us, it's a big deal. Like, that's a far drive, whatever. To God, it's just like, I got this.
Right. Put him back in the eccentric billionaire chair, right? And he says, hey, I need you to go from Montana to Minnesota. And you're like, yeah, but... we're a little bit short on cash. Can you help with that? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I do that.
I have plenty to take care of exactly what I'm asking you to do.
The thing is, he rarely gives you a lavish expense account. He gives you just what you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Generally. Exactly when you need it, too.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we're kind of stuck in South Dakota. Do you know a guy? Yeah.
I know a guy. I know all of the guys.
I'm an eccentric billionaire. I know everyone. I'm sending some over with some Subway. Is that going to work for you? Because that's what I'm sending.
I have a pretty extensive contact list. I'll get a hold of somebody.
Go look under that rock. There's a $20 bill.
Yell at that tree. Money will follow me.
I put that there in 1907.
I knew it would happen.
All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. What was that? What's the website again? If someone wants to check out and see what you got going on.
TeamKingMC.com.
That's right. You can go to TeamKingMC.com. You can watch. He's got some videos posted out there. You can check the tour dates. In fact, he's got a show Wednesday here in Des Moines at the Cross Community Church. That is open to the public. You can hook up with that. And again, if you go to the website, TeamKingMC.com, you can get the details, get the address. I think it's on Ridgeview. And that's Wednesday. Hook up with that kind of stuff. And check out KingMC live in action here in the Des Moines area. So that'll be pretty sweet. They're going to hang out and be part of the talks here in the studio tonight. So big thanks. I'm glad that they're here. There's always interesting stories from the road from Eric and Michelle. All right, Bubba, so let's talk a little bit about this. Let's talk about this dating service you're in on.
All right. So I'm not going to name any of the names, but it's not a dating service, first off.
What did I say? That's not right?
No, it's not a dating service. I don't know why. That just hits me a little bit wrong. I'm not in a dating service.
A ladies' distribution site?
A ladies... Hotels.com. No. Okay, so because of a relationship that was struck up with a friend of mine recently...
Yep.
I decided to jump onto a dating website, but like the app version of the website, okay?
Okay.
So, as I'm going through, there's this extensive profile perspective. I don't know. I'm sure most of you have never dealt with a dating website before. I'm the only one in here that has to deal with that, but whatever. So you fill out this extensive profile, and you say, you know, this is my name. You do like a tagline and stuff like that. Hi, Mike.
Did you give me your real name?
Yeah, I did give my real name.
Okay, good.
You do like a... Like a tagline? That was creepy. So you go through and
Wait, you give them a tagline?
Yeah, so it's basically like, so what they see is they see your face, or whatever picture you want to put is what you, I'll call it your profile picture.
Yeah.
And then it's got like a little like one sentence or two sentence quotation.
What did you put as yours?
So I put, at first I didn't put anything, at least I don't remember putting anything.
Yeah.
And it auto put, you'd be surprised. Like,
that's great.
Even worse than what you're thinking, you'd be surprised, .. So it like added the ellipses in there to make it creepy. Like, I'm like, What do you mean you'd be surprised? Like, what about what? Like, you'd be surprised I'm a lot more attractive in real life. Or, like, you'd be surprised I'm not nearly this cool, actually. It's like, what does that mean?
That's tantalizing. Okay, go ahead.
Right, exactly. I changed it to, just to show more of my personality, I'm like, I'm looking for someone to finish my Star Wars quotes. I figured that's funny, that's like a one-liner, and it kind of explains a little bit about what I would do.
I feel like that. I mean, did you sweat over that at all? Like, did you put any...
It took me about 5 minutes.
I feel like you... Like, it takes some thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, should I say something like, you know, how am I going to grab someone's attention through this?
You should have contacted us. We could have all given you suggestions.
Here's the deal.
Dan, what is yours? What would you give?
Yeah, what would your tag...
For Amuba?
No,
for you. What's your own... Yeah, you're on, you're on a dating website, the tagline that describes Dan.
Faster, pastor.
I'd probably put something really boring, like you know, yeah, Jesus follower or something. I mean,
whiz bang, Dan.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, but you know, yeah,
ladies are going through.
That's a pretty big deal in my life.
Yeah.
People who that would turn off, I don't want them interested anyway. So
I feel like, I mean, I assume that comes up in some other part of the profile, right?
Yeah. So you have a religion section, and it's like, of course, Christian-other. Like, I don't know how many times have you guys looked at how many times Christian is always lumped in with other?
No.
Yeah, Christian all the time. If you're filling out surveys or if you're doing profiles and things, Christian-other is all over the place.
So you can be a Belgianese Hindu or Christian.
Like,
other.
I'm a Tibetan monk or Christian. Christian-other, right? And so you fill out this extensive profile. You explain a little bit about, like, what your position is in your company. Like, oh, what else is on there? Like, there's questions about, like, your eye color, your height. What would you explain your body type is? And there's, like, 5 body types to be. And, of course, I'm scrolling all the way to the bottom. Like, let's not lie to ourselves. I'm not going to go as muscular.
Wait,
is it in
size order?
Like, it totally is. Yes,
skinny,
it's like
to bigger.
It's like skinny, then it's athletic, then it's a little more to love, and then it's like, how do I pick this and be honest? Because I'm not a little more to, like, I'm a lot more to love, and I'm fine with that. Like, I love being a big guy. But then it's like big and tall at the end. I'm like, that seems like I can keep my dignity and be big and tall. I'm gonna click on that. And so it cracks me up because you're filling out this profile, and then one of the things you do at the end is you identify if you're comfortable viewing profiles of someone else who is big and tall. Oh, and yeah. I think that shows up for everyone.
Huh.
But the option to show up, are you comfortable viewing profiles of people who are skinny? That does not show up. So they just assume that, yeah, everybody wants to see the skinny people, but not everybody wants to see the big and tall dudes.
Wait, do you think the website is taken over with like the majority big and tall?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know.
You don't know, you haven't paid.
Well, yeah, I know, right? I haven't seen the whole website. Yeah. So this is going on. So I'm filling out my profile, and then I did all that, and then there's this big, ominous about me section.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a free form text, put what you want. And so I'm filling this thing out, and I literally hit this wall where I'm like, do I really want to identify how deep my faith is here? Like, do I really want to say, you know, I'm a wholehearted, you know, Christ follower. God is my number one in my life. Like, that's the most important thing to me. Because I'm thinking to myself, like, am I going to completely alienate myself on this thing and then make it so that everyone goes, oh, Jesus is in this guy's about me section. There's no way I'm looking at that guy and all this different stuff. And it killed me because I literally went through this, like, 45-second dilemma in life where I'm like, you know, if I'm trying to find a date or eventually, and I'm looking to eventually get married, so there's no point in me going, hey, I really want to just date and then do nothing on that. Do I really need to identify if I'm a Christ follower and stuff like that? The 45-second dilemma was over with.
Yeah, that's why mine's on the tagline.
Of course I'm going to do that. Like, why wouldn't I do that? Yeah. It's going to come up in conversation eventually, hopefully. And so I put in there, you know, God is my number one priority in my life. Everything comes from him and everything is eventually rolling up to him. Like, that's the center of my life. And if that's what you're looking for, that's what I'm looking for. And it kind of just detailed, like, I'm looking for someone to grow in Christ with me. And so by doing so, I know that I've alienated myself through that. And it's also kind of funny because I know when people don't read my profile, because if someone matches with me and then I look at their profile and they're like, man, I can't stand religion and all this different stuff. I'm like, oh, you did not look at mine at all. You apparently were not reading that.
Right.
So what it's turned into is I'm going through these profiles, and I say, yes, I want to meet everyone, because I don't look at anybody and go, oh, that person's ugly, or that person is like, I don't like that person. I'm like, whatever, you're a human being, sure. Oh, you're a human being too, sure, whatever, human being. And so it's funny because, like, the flip of the perspective is I've looked at it now and I see these people that are just like, some people have the audacity to say, oh, I'm not looking for any kind of relationship. I'm just looking for a hookup right now and all this different stuff. And I find myself more often than not messaging those people. Here's why, okay? So
we know why.
But yeah, exactly, right? Because hopefully they didn't read my profile. No. I messaged one of these gals that says, you know, honestly, I'm not in this for a relationship. I'm not in this for anything. I'm actually just looking for a hookup right now. And I messaged this gal and I said, you may never respond to me. You may never say anything back to me. And I'm perfectly okay with that. But I want to tell you that you are worth so much more than you are allowing yourself to be worth. And I said, I know that that seems ridiculous that I'm saying this to you through a weird medium as this dating website. And like I said, if you don't ever want to respond to me, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I want you to know that I am a wholehearted follower of the living God of this universe, and he wants you to know that you are worth more than you are allowing yourself to be worth. Please feel free to contact me if you ever want to know more about what I'm saying, because I would love to talk to you about it. And if you don't, have a great life, and I hope that things work out for you. Like, that was my message to this gal. And so I never ended up getting a message back, but it's funny because, like, I flipped my whole mentality in this website. It's no longer I'm looking for a date. I'm looking for the people that have that on there because I want to message them and say, you are worth so much more than you are allowing yourself to be worth. I'll look at profile pictures and be like, come on, seriously. Have some amount of dignity for yourself and care about you as a human being rather than you as a trophy and all this different stuff. And so that's the general story of what I'm doing. But my question is, how can someone who's honestly trying to seek Christ and who's honestly trying to seek this whole, you know, relationship with God, but also relationship with a woman for me, and then a woman seeking a man in some situations, you know, how can someone exist on these dating sites? Is it possible for someone who is a follower of Christ to correctly do this whole online dating thing? Because it is becoming a very large thing. You know, it's a whole, at one point in time, it was something weird where you didn't hear about it very often, where people were on the dating sites. Nowadays, it's a huge thing where there are a lot of people on dating sites. How, as a Christ follower, can someone do that successfully?
Well, I mean, I think your word choice was kind of weird.
Probably true.
Like when you said, do I risk alienating somebody? When really, like, I would say appropriately filtering them. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like it's not a negative thing. It is simply a matter of compatibility, of which this is not a surprise type of deal, and it would be disingenuous to have not been upfront about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not treating someone wrong. That is treating somebody honest and correctly. Okay. And so I think part of that is just if you're looking to make an honest connection, like, that has to sit on honesty.
Right.
And if this is honestly where you're at, like, if 90 people passed, those weren't really the 90 folks that you were looking at for a long-term relationship anyway, right?
Agreed, yes.
So, like, it did what it was supposed to do, and that's okay.
I agree.
And so I think that's fine. I think if you're going to engage in something like that on the internet, the truth is that if you're looking for a long-term relationship and a marriage, then that person is going to need to know every part of you.
Right.
And there's no reason to start off in a shallow or disingenuous way.
Agreed.
They just need, like, and the thing is what's weird about some of the way that those circumstances are, is you kind of miss out on how you reveal some of those things about you, right? Because they get, people get to analyze those things as opposed to, like, take them in as you say them. And, like, that doesn't mean not to do the dating websites, but it's something that you kind of lose in that interaction. And so, like, that does kind of stink, where those things that you're kind of revealing about yourself have to be revealed in what's in a very flat or very technical way, as opposed to kind of a more heartfelt way.
Yeah, a lot of the message ends up getting lost just because it's not being demonstrated. Instead, it's just reduced to words.
Yeah,
that's true.
So much of your faith that is more than just words. It's how you live it out.
Right. And so, I mean, the thing is, I don't think you have to try to compensate for that in how you describe yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like that you have to overdo it so they can feel it coming up to page. Like, they're just not. It's not the right medium for that. But it's also a simple fact, and there's no reason to not be as clear as possible about that. And frankly, it also points to what it is that you're looking for. And, like, I think the way you worded it, I think is pretty clear that this is what you're looking to be kind of engaged with. And so I think above all things, and heck, doesn't this come down to every piece of dear life and the path advice we've ever given? Like, you just it's a medium through which you are honest to people. Like, you can make the same mistake meeting someone in a restaurant somewhere and lying to them and then jacking that up 3 months later. And so, like, if this is the medium in which you're going to get together, then you do it honestly, and I feel like God will handle that.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than, say, meeting someone at a secular place like work. I mean, it just happens to be media. I mean, social media. So, yeah, it's the same. Same principles, same everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I was, you aren't the only person that's in this room that's been on those sites. I was on a whole bunch of them. Not while I've been married.
I was going to say, hey, man, we're about to have
confession time, but...
live, dear Live from the Path.
But before I met Michelle, you know, I did the eHarmonies and the Match.coms and whatnot. And because I was lonely. I wanted to get married. You know, I'm a Christian guy, and I wasn't meeting girls at church. And it's because there's that whole also... weird mentality. It's like, well, I'm a Christian. Do I date? Do I, you know what I mean? It's like, do we court? Do I just, do we go on group dates? And it's just, so it's really weird. And then you try all those things and they don't work. And then, so you see all these, websites that say we have 90%, compatibility or whatever. So you try it and you're like, well, I guess I'm in the 10%. And
oh yeah, that is awkward.
Oh man, I've never thought of it that way. Thanks, man.
But you know, I tried that, and I did go on, you know, a lot of dates with girls that I met there, and you know, I was looking for Christian females, and a lot of times they ended up not being at the same level in their walk with Christ that I was. And so we weren't equally yoked, you know? And then I came across a Christian dating site also. Mm-hmm. So I figured, okay, this was going to be it. This is where I was going to find her. And it was not the case. And I had to spend a lot of money. Let me just tell you, by the time Michelle and I got married, I was still paying off this website. Ouch. And
that's why I haven't upgraded yet.
And getting messages.
And I was like, sorry, I got married. And they were and girls were like, well, then take your profile down. And I was like,
passive aggressive online.
Yeah,
players.
it was like that's not very Christ-like. But it was Michelle and I actually ended up meeting at church. And it was the weirdest. I spent all this money on trying to make something happen. I don't know. I guess that's the way it was. And then I met her the way I always wanted to meet somebody in church, you know? And
yeah.
So.
Right on. Now, from what I understand, though, just to make sure that all you single Christian dudes that are out there listening to this show, the way that I understand it is Christian dating is you find the gal at your church that you like and you sit as far away from her as possible in the pew. And then you just gradually get closer and closer and closer.
Yeah.
And that shows her that you are interested. Is that right? No? Okay.
Eric tried that for a while, for 4 months. I didn't know he existed. Like, this is a true story. We were going to a church, and I'd been going there for 8 months. He'd been going there for four. And I literally had not met him and did not know he existed in a church of 100. And would not have minded meeting him. But it took God orchestrating it through us both locking our keys in our car on the same Sunday, because we're awesome like that. And so we're both stuck there after church. My friends suck, so they totally just leave me there. And, yeah, we got stuck talking. But hey, man, the sitting far
you go to this church? Yeah.
Eccentric billionaire God. God's just like, hey, man, you're both going to lock your keys in your car. Guess what? You're getting married, too. All right, so... ultimately, did anyone else have anything to add to the lonely Christian man, as Eric put it?
Is the question, like, is this...
Is it possible to do?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's possible to do.
You know, as a guy who's on the marrying side, a shift happened, I don't know, 10 years ago, where, you know, well, because I suspect, suppose when it started getting popular, you know, you never heard of such a thing. And then all of a sudden, I married a couple that had met online. Well, that's really unique. Then pretty soon, I can't remember the last time I haven't married someone who met online. That's just where everybody meets, it seems like, these days.
Fair enough.
Really? Like, you would say, like, the most of the people that you've married in the last 10 years have met online?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, have you ever met anybody who, met through, like, a game? Because I have a friend whose parents met through a video game.
No.
And then ended up getting married.
Chat during the video game?
Yeah,
Guild of World of Warcraft type thing?
Yes, exactly. They were playing an MMORPG and started, like, dating on the webs or on the game, and then ended up meeting up and getting married. All right, Mike, so I got to call it out. You're making a funny face, and I feel like you want to say something, but you haven't yet. What do you have to say, sir?
I mean, here's the deal. Is I feel like it's hard to start a relationship where you get to represent yourself in a light that you feel to be favorable. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's no way that you're putting out an honest representation of yourself when you get to decide what you get to say about you.
But that's not online exclusive, Mike. Like, that's what happens when people get together at the Schlotsky's Deli.
Yeah, but it's much harder to fake it at the Schlotsky's Deli. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know how much effort it takes to physically fake that in a 3D world? It's a lot easier to do it online in a 2D area.
I mean, are you saying it's because whoever you're meeting at the Schlotsky's could ask you a question that you can't dodge, whereas, like, you both control the question and the answer to a certain extent when you're providing detailed information online? Is that what you're saying?
It seems so much. And here's the deal: is like, people are so used to being lied to on the internet that, like, they wouldn't even take you seriously, right? Like, if Boova went through that diatribe on the dating website and I was a handsome young girl that I was looking for a nice Boova to call my own, I would be like, this dude totally made this up. There's no way he believes all this crap. You know what I'm saying? Just because I'm so used to being lied to on the internet, like, I wouldn't believe it anyway.
Well, I think you assume that with everybody, though. You take everything with a grain of salt, but you just see, am I interested in meeting them?
So you're basically jumping into a dating pool where you assume everyone's a liar.
Yeah.
That sucks,
man. Isn't that what everybody does when they go out Friday night and they're hoping to find somebody and they're all telling their stories? And
hey, man, I've been doing this wrong for years.
Hold on, that's a very cynical perspective.
Yeah, Dan, when was the last time you would classify you were out on a Friday night in the way that you're talking about?
It has been 30 years.
That
would have
been 1982.
It has been 30 years for Dan since he's been out on
more than
Friday
that,
night.
Actually.
I'm not saying Dan's perspective is not accurate. I'm just questioning its timeliness.
I know this is slightly, like, might not seem like the same topic, but Facebook stalking totally works because, like, that's kind of how we get all of our shows. Like, a lot of the people that book us are total strangers. No, not through Facebook stalking, but they're total strangers. And so, like, a lot of times they end up welcoming us into their home, into their church and all this stuff. And they tell us, like, we had to make sure you're not axe murderers first because, you know, how do we know that?
Yeah.
And so if they can do that and discover that we're real people, I'm pretty sure that somebody could do that with
that's
a dating site, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I didn't think about the intimidation factor. I'm a big dude. If I do this, I'm going to have to convince someone to meet me somewhere.
Yeah. In a dark corner of an alley. It's like, no, really, it's fine.
Hey,
I love Jesus.
You seem really cool online. Would you like to meet the 6'3" man on the other side
of
this conversation?
Here's the deal. It's like, I'm hesitant to even meet people on Craigslist and sell them stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm asking for a gal to understand and meet me for a date.
Yeah.
This is impossible. Okay. All right, so before we go on, I have to explain one little small story, okay?
Okay.
So, one of the first days I'm on this website, I get a message from a gal, and I'm not going to give out her information or anything like
that. Is her name, Mandy?
No, but let's say her username is something like Curvy Cowgirl, okay?
Candace.
Okay. Candace, yes, okay. Yes. So she messages me, Candace and the message says, "Here I am, what are your other two wishes?" Like, that's the message, okay? That is the whole message. Now, let me explain the details of this. So, here was not capitalized.
Uh-huh.
I was not capitalized.
Right.
Here I am, no comma. What are your, YOURE.
Brilliant.
No apostrophe. Two, TOO wishes. No punctuation.
I think it's that Nigerian prince that Andrew's been doing.
So that happens. Okay, so
even Little Lamb's preschool.
Obviously, in my mind, this person is not for me. Not the right person for me.
It's a dude.
It's a dude. His name is Clarence, not Candace. And so, but then I ended up messaging someone and starting talking to them in a little bit, and then she asked me, you know, what are you doing on this website? Basically asking, you know, why are you not out in the world meeting people?
Yeah.
And so I respond with, there's only so many times you can run into someone's cart at a Hy-Vee before they ask you to leave. Being funny and sarcastic, right?
That wasn't the reaction you got here in the room.
Yeah. I know. I thought it was funny and sarcastic. she deleted me off of the thing. It's no longer, like, there's no messages between her and I. I realized I'm that gal's curvy cowgirl. That person's curvy, because I'm that creepy guy that goes, yeah, I run into people at grocery stores and go, hi, my name's Boova. Do you want to go on a date with me?
Is that a watermelon? Because I like watermelon.
Sometimes it's difficult to represent yourself on these websites correctly. So realize, when I ask this question of, is it possible to do, I'm looking at it from both perspectives of, no, it's friggin' impossible, and yes, it's very possible. So that's why I wanted to ask.
Here's the deal. Next time you think you've got something quippy, Facebook it to the
Facebook
fellas.
Hey, fellas, can I say something?
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
No,
okay, fine.
No. Grocery cart ain't flying.
I thought it was funny.
Hey, listen, they're leading you astray for comedy. It's not possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're saying, yeah, it's totally doable, Boova. They're just looking to glean stories from it.
Dan's married them.
Huh?
Dan married guys. That
yeah, Dan will marry anybody for $25.
Well, and like to be honest, I was like the official marrier dude from some Des Moines downtown hotel used to call me. I was doing a lot of weddings of just total strangers.
Hey.
Generally, they weren't people I knew.
That validated.
But that's what I'm saying. It was a pretty good slice of the population.
You don't know these people. You have no idea what happened after you married them, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. See, Dan is not legit.
I stopped doing that.
All right, fellas. So here's the deal. I think I'm going to give this 2 more weeks. I think that's fair. That's a good pot of time to see what happens. And if nothing happens, I'm deleting all the profiles. Just getting rid of it.
How many profiles do you have up there?
Well, one. I have 6. There's Boova. There's Troy.
Boova Jr.
There's a guy from Spain named Philippe. I kind of photoshopped a couple of my pictures just to see what would happen if I didn't have to classify myself as big and tall.
I'm pretty skinny. My name is Frank Santander.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, I'm really skinny.
Is that... Hey, no, hold on. It's expensive?
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is expensive.
Some of it, yes, very, very expensive.
You know, I mean, you can do the free profiles like he's doing, but...
The cheapo way.
But you don't really get to meet too many people that way.
Yeah.
Like, one of them, it's... Yeah, you have to have... It's like $50 a month just to talk to people.
This is not one of those websites.
Can people on there tell whether you have the upgraded plan or not?
Yes.
So they know whether you're cheap.
Truth!
It's part of your profile. Man. Boo was cheap.
Oh, cats! I didn't realize that. Ladies know that I'm the cheap dude that's not willing to upgrade. Oh, cats, I gotta go upgrade this thing.
I can meet the love of my life, but I'm not really willing to shell out $50.
Exactly. It's my
real jerk.
Crap.
I don't want to invest anything into this relationship.
$9 a month. Oh, cats, no.
Man, you're the guy that's first dating at the Schlotzkys.
No, here's the deal, though. Like, you can see, I mean, I don't, there's, you can't, I don't see other dudes' profiles because I have interested in women, but, like, there's no other gals that I've seen that have been upgraded. Like, there's, like, a yellow dot
everybody's
on their profile.
Everybody's on the cheap?
Yeah, everybody's on the cheapo.
Hmm.
Maybe I should differentiate myself by being the one dude that's upgraded.
But does that make you look desperate, though? Because you're paying the big money?
I give up. I completely give up. Because either I look cheap and I'm not upgraded,
cheap or
desperate. I look desperate and I'm upgraded. I give up. I'm going to go crash into people at the Hy-Vee, all right?
I tell you what, this would be an awful
time.
Oh, what?
Go ahead.
This would be an awful time, I think, to be a dater. I mean... Yeah, like it's been a while
since
I've been.
Dan.
Well, I mean,
is it because you're off the market, Dan?
It's because the younger generation, all they know is social media and texting, and I mean, it's hard to have a conversation with someone under 30 who will look you in the eye. I mean, and it's because they're all like, you know, they're hilarious on social media, but then you talk to them and they're like afraid to speak. And I think, gosh, how do you meet someone today?
Some of this might just be your own experience, Dan. That people don't look you in the eye or speak to you.
No, he's right. That's how it is.
Oh, a shower.
Sorry, Dan, you're right.
A shower.
I shower sometimes, but no one knows it over the internet.
I don't wash my clothes, though. I'm just saying, it's a different world. I mean, it is,
especially from 30 years ago.
Hey.
When you were dating.
Hey.
We're in a different millennium.
Yeah. Do you not agree, though, with Dan's... Do you think Dan has painted it right, though? Like, are we having... Is it hard to socially engage with
people? Completely. It's difficult, because... I mean, come on. I'm here. I have no troubles with talking to people. I have no issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of my generation are all idiots. I care about all of you. I love all of you, and so does God. But seriously, they're all idiots. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to find someone to carry on an intelligent conversation. And me included in that most of the time.
Face to face.
Yeah, face to face.
They'll text an intelligent conversation.
I have differentiated myself in the dating world because I'm willing to call someone. I don't text. I do not text gals when I'm asking them out on a date. I will call you. I will ask you specifically. I won't say, hey, do you want to hang out?
That's your advantage. They don't know how to say no.
Right, exactly.
Can I text you back?
I don't say, hey, do you want to hang out on Friday? Like, no. I say specifically, I would like to take you out on a date on Friday or a date on Saturday and stuff like that. And I found that being able to actually call someone and say the word date rather than saying something stupid like, hey, Netflix and chill, ? Like, I've differentiated myself amongst all the other children that are 24-year-old dudes.
You're
little
a man
boys
child.
That exist. And so, but still, it's either yes, absolutely, I'd love to go out on a date with you, or no, I'm so intimidated, I'm not even going to answer your phone call. And I refuse to do it over text. I won't do it.
I'm just going to have to represent the women in the world here and yes. say thank you.
Okay, cool.
That's awesome.
I was going to say, she's like, yeah, it's intimidating. Stop calling us. I'm like, oh, crap, sorry.
Why don't you just text?
Delete my number.
I've actually gotten that before, is the, why don't you just text me? Why do you have to call me? It's like, I'm trying
I want to hear your pretty voice.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and croissants. Want a cold
peanut butter and croissants. Militant. All right. All right. So ultimately, the question from the new believer, can it happen? We've got a couple yeses. We've got one
Mike,
very,
are you a firm no?
Very adamant no.
Mike's the old codger
kind
in the room.
On the fence. I'll give it two more. I tell you what, I'll give it two more weeks. I'll report back on it in 2 weeks and see what's happened. Okay?
You need to change your profile to, like, you know, man, white shining armor dude or something. I mean,
I need to be a white. I am a white guy.
Well, white was immaterial.
And
man.
He is shiny. Photoshop.
I have to be more specifically shiny.
Put on a suit of armor. All right, okay. Take a picture.
Hey man, they don't make suits of armor my size normally, Dan. I would have to get a commission, and it's going to take a couple more weeks.
Hey, man, Dan, you need to start an unsolicited online dating advice column.
I think I will. Yeah. $20 a month.
Here's what dating was like in Camelot.
Ways to succeed with online dating. Step one from Dan, wear a suit of armor.
Suit of armor.
Two,
make a splash. Don't look nice in your profile picture. You specifically need a suit of armor.
Shine.
For my profile, instead of a picture of me, I'm going to have a picture of my avatar.
Yes, there we go. Hi, this is Thorak, and he's going to be great. He's my barbarian in shining white armor. Yeah, thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Number four, use Jesus as your profile picture with the phrase, I just want to make sure you got this.
If you didn't understand before, this guy is the ruler of my life. I do not, in fact, look like this Jesus, though.
When asked, what do you really want in life, say, I just want you to look me in the eyes when I'm speaking to you.
Answer my phone calls. I need to ask you on a date.
Ways to succeed in online dating from Dan.
Oh, man. Dan, this has got to happen. All right, thanks, boys.
All right, you're listening live from the Path. Hopefully you are struggling with online dating. We're here to help.
I'm right there with you. We'll figure it out together. Email us at info@lifefromthepath.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. Like, we're made for this. This is this niche of life.
I was made for this.
It says, how do I succeed? We have no experience or legitimate understanding of how the world works, but we can help you in this manner. info@lifefromthepath.org. Thanks for hanging out with us so far tonight. Hey, listen, here's the deal. If you are hanging out with us on the podcast, it is very much appreciated, and we got a bunch more show coming for you. If you're on the Truth Network, 99.3 FM, we do have to indeed let you go. So we're going to very well do that. Big thanks to Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team for sponsoring the show. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com for all your home buying and selling needs. Bob is just the man to handle your real estate affairs. Don't hesitate. You can check out online right now at EisenhowerTeam.com or give him a call tomorrow and just say, Bob, I'm thinking about selling my house or I'm looking for something else. Can you help me out? And he'll tell you what questions to ask, and then he'll answer them. He's just a convenient guy like that. Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team. Thank you for sponsoring Life from the Path. We're going to let you go. We will see you next week. If you're on the podcast, we'll be right back with you. Please, please be faithful in the means. God will take care of the ends. You've been listening to Life from the Path. You guys can't hear the tunes, so the break seems longer to you.
I've never even been on a dating site. I mean,
well, I would hope not, Dan. I would hope not.
Well, the I mean, never even just to look at them, you know, because that's why. It's like I'd be like somehow be traceable or something. I'd be like, I'll have some cookie on there. What are you doing on the dating site?
Aren't you the same guy who gave advice on how to defeat the Ashley Madison scandal a couple of weeks ago?
Unsolicited size of buildings.
No, I'm just saying. Why would you get on there and use your real information?
Because I'm not afraid the NSA is going to use my big and tall against me. Like, I don't think they're going to come against me and go, yeah, he is big and tall. It even says it on his profile. Like, sweet. Oh, he apparently loves Jesus. Get him. Like, not worried about it.
What was
Like what was the point that took you to the internet site? Like did you feel like you're not there's not enough opportunities? You're not in the, like, you're busy? Like, what kind of turned you there?
Well, so it was it's something that I did years ago at first. Like, I did a dating site back, I think I was 19 years old, and I was just a lonely dude that just needed to be on a dating site because I legitimately did not have any interactions with the world, and I thought that was going to help.
Uh-huh.
This round of me trying, it was actually based off a relationship that started up with a couple friends.
Yeah.
So I have a buddy that was on this website and actually has a girlfriend now from this website within the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And so that kind of started, you know, getting my gears going a little bit. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, I can give it a shot. It's worth a try.
Yeah.
I'm not spending a ridiculous amount of time on this, and I'm not spending, you know, money on it myself. Apparently, I'm the cheapo, which I'm fine with.
Sounds like
you know, I might as well not represent myself incorrectly and pay the money.
Right.
Because you're going on McDonald's dates, ladies. You're welcome. But so I saw the successful relationship that happened there, or at least so far successful, and I thought, you know, let's give it a shot. I might as well try it. And so what I'm coming to terms with is I don't think I'm the guy that this works for. It just doesn't seem like I'm that right person because the dudes and gals that I've seen successful relationships, not going to go as far as to say don't have as high of standards as I do, but they just don't have the same standards as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So my standards are based on my faith versus, you know, oh, this person has to be like, you know, this beautiful or they have to be this successful or something like that.
Right.
And so that is a site that works towards that. You can see how beautiful someone is in your eyes because they've got profile pictures. You can see how successful someone is because they've got their little story of who they are.
Yep.
Me, if I'm looking for faith, I have to go much more than just an about me section.
Right.
So I think that's why I'm kind of floating on that that area where it's not going to be successful for me. However, I mean, I figured I'd give it a shot. Why not? But no, I have plenty of interactions out in the world. I do a lot of different stuff. I work a lot. I'm out, you know, hanging out with friends a lot. I'm, you know, grocery stores. I'm happy with meeting someone at a library if I have to, and it might happen. So,
how often are you in a library?
Well, I was just using that as an example. I don't remember the last
when
time.
When I log on.
I'm saying that from the perspective of the cliche of meeting someone in a library, okay?
Okay, sorry.
Yes. I don't remember the last time I stepped in
front
of a
library. You just lost a lot of other people on the filter there. Oh, library.
Exactly. Some people don't know that a library exists. But no, I'm fine with, you know, meeting someone at a cafe. Like, I've gone to a coffee shop before and hung out for a little while with friends and then have met someone and have gotten a number through that. And then went on a date before with that.
Here's the deal, Boova. I'm interested in this. So, like, my relationship with my wife. Like, I dated one girl and I married her, and like that circumstance
awesome.
just worked out. Where like I never had to do any of the things that kind of you're facing. And so like
rub it in.
How did you get her number? Like what?
I struck up a conversation.
Did you say something smooth?
Here, I'm not the smooth one at all. I've come to terms with that.
Uh-huh.
Out in the world, because I'm not like the other jerks that uh-huh. exist as 24-year-old dudes, I'm Rico Suave in most situations. Uh-huh.
You're a silver-tongued Machiavelli.
Seriously. Like, I've met waitresses before just by striking up a conversation with them.
They have to come to your table, Boo.
They do. They do, yes. But they don't have to give me their number.
Okay, correct, okay.
So I've gotten numbers. I've given out my number before to a couple people, and I've gotten calls back from it. I'm not shy at all. So, you know, if I think a waitress is attractive or wants to come over and hang out, like one gal, I met her, she was a waitress of mine and I was with a bunch of my friends and, she came over and asked me, you know, what I wanted for dinner. And I said, well, what are we getting? And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what are we getting together? Like, obviously this is our first date. So what dinner are you getting? I'm just going to get the wings. What is it that you're interested in? And then she just got all beat red and was embarrassed and stuff like that. I'm like, okay. Take your time. It's okay. I know the server's here. It's all right. Just come back and let me know what you want to eat. I'll get something and you can nibble off of what I have.
Uh-huh.
And she's cracking up laughing at this. And then by the end of the night, she comes back and she says, well, I'm off at 9. How late are you guys going to stay? Uh-huh. I said, I'm bigger than all these guys. We're staying till 10.
Uh-huh.
And so she is laughing and she comes and sits down next to me and we ended up having a dinner together. And I said, well, you know, this is our first date. So are you okay with having a first date with me at your place of work? And she's just cracking up laughing. And we never ended up like going anything more serious than that. I took her on another date, but like we still talk every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's random situations like that. Like I've gone and gotten coffee with a friend before, and then I've walked back up and said, you know, that was the best coffee I've ever had in my entire life. And the gal will start laughing. I say, well, that might have been a little bit of a lie just to make you talk to me. And then that sparks up a conversation, and then I end up getting that person's number. Like, there's just random things like that.
I feel like you're a real smooth criminal, Boova.
It's, like I said, here, not at all. I'm that young guy that doesn't know what I'm talking about. When it comes out there, I'm not afraid to talk to people.
You dominate.
And I'm not afraid to have a conversation or walk up to someone and go, I can't say this without seeming weird, but you are seriously one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my entire life. And I don't know what else to say besides, I would like to see you outside of your place of work.
Uh-huh.
Can I get your number?
Right.
And then sometimes they'll go, no, I'm sorry. Like, I just, it's no problem. And I walk away. And sometimes I'll get, wow, that was really random. Here's my number. And then I'll start talking to that person.
Huh. I still have a picture on my hard drive of in the Pathway archives of you at the Urbandale Parade when you were like 14, giving a flower to Miss Iowa.
Yep.
She was waiting on the parade, and she's got all of her stuff on the sash and everything, and you're walking up with a flower, and I took a little picture of you. And this is like, she's like, oh, look at this guy.
So I walked up to her and I said, I know I'm way too young at this point in time, but I'll be 18 in 4 years. Here's a flower. And she started laughing. She said, okay, I'll give you a call.
Did she give you a call?
No.
She tells lies. She tells lies. Hey, it's Eric, do you feel like you learned anything like through that process, knowing that you never actually met someone?
I thought you
went
tonight.
No.
Eric, please reflect on what you've learned tonight.
That asks too much of the program. So, like, having gone through some of the stuff that Boova is kind of testing out, do you feel like, even though that isn't where you found Michelle, like, did you learn something through that process, or is it something that you wish you hadn't done, or what? Like,
I wish I hadn't done all of it. mainly because when you do meet somebody or you make a connection, you get excited. You get excited about it, and then you end up giving, whether you want to or not, a little piece of your heart to that. As cheesy as that sounds, you know, you end up giving a little piece of your heart to that.
Yep.
And then when it doesn't work out, you get crushed. And especially like in my case, where I got married to Michelle, I was still making payments on this one
awkward
site, and it is weird. It's like we come home from our honeymoon. It's like, oh hey, I got messages. Let's, you know. But also something that I learned from it was, you know, you have great rapport with somebody online, and you start you're talking online, and then you move it to the telephone or whatever, and you're talking and you're having great conversation, and then you decide to meet in person. Even though you've been talking to this person for weeks online, you now have to meet all over again.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's like, I know things about you, but I've never met you before.
You're like a creeper. You're a built-in creeper.
Right.
I know things about you, but we've never actually come into contact.
Oh, man.
You're like you're setting up for like a slightly less sexually intimidating peeping Tom. That's you, Boova. You're a peep.
Slightly less sexually intimidating peeping Tom.
You're a peeping Boova.
I'm peeping Boova. That's Please about. Don't let that catch on. Please don't let that catch
so
on.
So that's going to be your tagline.
Jesus creeper. Quotations underneath my face. Slightly less sexually intimidating peeping Tom. ... peeping Boova.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised. ... If that doesn't get me connections, there's no hope for me on online dating. None.
That's true. All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. Yeah, we're solving the world's problems. Thanks for hanging out with us so far. Honestly, the show is about honest faith, fierce grace, and donkeys. And here's the thing, is sometimes we end up talking about, I don't know, how do you be a Jesus man on a dating site? It's an interesting segment of the world. Yeah.
I hated dating, period. I mean, but the social
women hated dating media. You, so it's understandable.
Yeah.
But they loved marrying you. Yeah, there you go. You had a wife for a long time. You're good.
That was a really harsh thing to say, Boova.
Hey, man. I meant it out of love. I meant it out of love.
It didn't come off that way. Run your phrases by somebody, for heaven's sakes.
We're on live air. I can't do that.
You're a harsh man.
Hey, Dan, I care about you, and you're my friend.
No, I mean, I hated the game of dating.
That's actually something I was really relieved and surprised that I was relieved after I got married was just, it's like, okay, that game's over.
Yeah, we're done.
Hey, this is the one.
Yeah.
All right, awesome.
Now I'm settled down and,
All right, thanks for hanging out with us so far on Live from the Path. Mike, did Mike make it back in here?
He did indeed.
Yep. Okay, Mike, you got some Dear Life from the Path?
Yeah. Hang on, sorry, I wasn't quite as prepared as maybe I was hoping I would have been. How's your guys' night going?
Hey man, I'm feeling tip top. I put in a tankless water heater at my place.
What?
Like 2 weeks ago. It's fantastic. It is fantastic. It will spit out hot water forever. And I'm really, really very happy with it. So, like, so here's the deal. Two-minute story. So, all my kids have been born in the water. Like, we do water births. And the last two have been born at home. And so, for my second daughter, we just moved into this house. We probably have been there for 2 weeks. And my wife says, hey, my water broke. And I said, that's interesting. Ours did, too. Because the truth is that, like, they shut off our water that day. Because we moved in, and, like, they hadn't changed the water bill to my name, and the guy that lived there before didn't pay it. And so the water department came down and, unbeknownst to me, shut off the water. And so it's a water birth. So, like, I need water at my place to fill this tub to be able to do the water birth, right? So I end up having to call the maintenance guy for the city after hours on a Friday to come out and turn the water back on and plead and promise that I would show up tomorrow, like, Monday morning and pay the bill. And so he ends up doing this, but, like, I can't get the water hot enough because I didn't have time to sit in the hot water heater. And, like, the midwives ladies that were there were kind of giving me the stink eye because I didn't have hot water like I was supposed to. I'm boiling stuff on the stove and dumping it in. Like, this is a mess. And so I swore that we're going to do this thing again, and I will not be the jack and apes that can't get the water stuff straightened out. And so I was banking on my hot water heater this time. I had the right hoses and everything. And then the hot water goes out, like, a week before the birth. And, of course, at this time I didn't know it, but she was due any time. And the hot water goes out. And somebody that's close to me had said, hey, I've been praying that your birth and stuff would go well. And I thought, you broke my water heater on purpose. So because it otherwise would have failed during the birth, right? So I thought, okay, this is going to work. And so I wasn't quite confident that it could create enough hot water that I wanted, because it tends to be like we use two different, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's going to take too much water. And so I invested in this tankless water heater, supposed to last twice as long and give you unlimited hot water supply. And I thought, this is the answer. King of the ring over here. Like, this birth is going to fly right. I'll be ready to go. And sure enough, it rocked. That tankless water heater was up and running. It's ready to beast. Now, the problem, however, is my shower time has gone from 15 minutes to 40. I've become like a Rodan in there. Like, I'm just sitting there thinking. Like, I got nothing to do but sit there and think in the shower under the hot water. Because, like, I've thought outside of the shower, and it's not near as great. And, like, having hot water pour over you while you ponder life, it's just a way to live. The problem is it's expensive because I'm just dumping water down the drain, pondering in the shower.
Hey, man, everything you're saying right now is getting creepy, okay?
Why?
It's just getting weird about how long your showers are, and now you're talking about being a Rodan of the shower. Like, it's just getting weird. Like, I don't know if this story needs to continue.
Here's the deal.
You have hot water for the birth.
Do you have the image in your mind of me thinking in the nude?
No.
In my shower.
That's
not
until
now.
Naked Rodan shower is unnecessary.
Waist up, I'll admit it. Waist up.
Anyway, here's how it happens. No, that's it. That's the end of the story.
Dear life from the past.
Hey, I'm the best in the biz. Cover time. Go.
Dear life from the past. My brother told a story about naked Rodan shower. And I was mortified.
Make it stop.
I've never even been embarrassed in my life before this day.
Do I invite him over for Christmas?
Here's the game.
Dan gave him dating advice.
Do I feel upset right now?
The game is called Count the Moles.
My stomach hurts.
I also I don't have glasses on the shower.
Dear life from the past.
The game difficult.
I work for a small nonprofit organization as the operations manager. When I arrived at the office this morning, I started my morning routine, which includes adding copy paper to the company copier that all staff members use. While doing it, I noticed something had been left on it from the previous evening. I picked it up, examined it to see who it belonged to, and saw it was an email printed out from my manager about a change in personnel regarding the operations manager. Since I am still employed there, I am assuming they intend to replace me, because I am the operations manager. Should I confront my manager, or should I just start looking for a new job?
Get your resume in order.
The writing's on the
paper. I feel
like
you can do both. Like, because your manager just kind of messed up by leaving something like that hanging out in the printer, and I would, if I were a manager, I would appreciate somebody telling me about that. But
unless it was a passive-aggressive type thing.
It might have been, hey man, I know the operations manager comes in the morning. He's definitely going to see this. That's a valid point. I didn't think about that. I think you can do both.
Yeah. I would fire the guy below me and take his job.
There seems to be an opening right underneath me.
You know, it turns out that there is no operations manager. I am just merely the secretary. Hoo-ah. Okay, Boova's advice is to do both things. Anybody else?
No, I think you call him out.
Yeah, you have the conversation, definitely. Hey, you left this on the copier. Is that me?
But no, get your resume in order.
I quit a job for that reason. Like my, I think I had clocked in 2 minutes late on a Friday, and my manager was not there, and he found out about it, and he left me a note on my desk, and said, and highlighted words like termination and some kind of whatever, and I was so mad at him for being such a yellow-bellied chicken that he wouldn't actually talk to me about it, that he put a note in a highlighter, that I got in there Monday morning, saw the note, sat there for an hour, trying to control myself, and waited until he come in, I said, I quit. You suck. He goes, you're serious? I said, yeah, you're a coward, and I can't work for you. And then I walked over to Ben, who was working at the same place at the time. I said, hey, man, I quit. Ben goes, that's cool. And then I left, and that was it. That was the whole story.
Mike called me 3 hours later from the Valvoline and said, hey, I'll see you. I'm now a manager at the Valvoline Instant Oil Change. I'll see you at 5.
Yeah, it was awesome. I
said, all right.
This is the best time I ever quit a job. All the other times I quit a job, it was a huge mistake.
Everybody else quits and laments and fights about it for a while. Mike just left and picked up a manager's position somewhere and stayed for the full shift and left.
Yeah, it was a good day. Here we go. So the second advice is, if I were you, I would do both. In reverse order, your manager's carelessness is unfortunate.
Here's the question. I feel like you could keep your job by handling approaching this in the right way, simply because he has to be embarrassed for being such a fool. And so, but the question is whether you want to.
Yeah.
That's really the question. Like, is it worth fighting for your job in an environment of which, obviously, there's not, like, if this wasn't it, who's to say that it won't be it 6 months from now? And so, you know, you put a lot of effort into shaming the guy or otherwise making him feel embarrassed, and he figures out another way to fire 6 months from now. Like, he'll figure it out eventually if you either you stink at your job or he hates you. So, I mean, you might be able to pull that off. I feel like it's not worth it.
Okay. Want to do one more?
Yeah.
Dear Life from the Path, I'm 16. Go to high school, play football, and make good grades. At church every Sunday, a lady who is one of my mom's friends always makes a point of coming up to talk to me. She says things about me growing up to be a man and asks me if I'm dating. She always gives me an extended hug. It's really uncomfortable for me and embarrassing. I tried to talk to my moms about it, but she just said her friend is a very affectionate person. To me, the way she does it is creepy and scary. I don't want to be unfriendly to anybody, but this is different. Any suggestions? Hey, man, yeah, you know, ladies ask them kind of questions sometimes, like, hey, are you dating anybody? Well, that's none of your business.
Yeah, you're 16, your hormones are flying. Don't over-sexualize an old lady's sexual advances.
It's a mom's friend. I mean, and he's 16. Mom, I mean,
wait,
like, wait,
you think he's creeped out because he thinks the lady's putting the moves on him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Extendo hug? That's pretty obvious.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's what I got from
you're a fine young man.
He's creeped out from, like, this lady is asking me, you know, I'm going to be a man soon. She's saying you're going to grow up to be a good man, stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't even catch that vibe. Shoot, I'm too naive. Condoms
yeah,
and condos.
Yeah, that's what he's getting from it.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, take the entire situation and flip it around. Say it's a teenage girl and it's a dude. You'd be like, yeah, that's creepy. That's no good.
Oh, yeah.
I hate everything about that guy. He's a creepster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think Dan's right, though. He might think a little too highly of himself to think someone's trying to pick him up.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's obviously hitting on me. I'm the stuff.
But regardless, he's still uncomfortable with it. And so he needs to remove himself from that situation and maybe even just assess it and go, you know what, and is she that way with everybody? Is she just that way with me? But if he's uncomfortable with it, regardless of if he thinks he's highly of himself or not, I think he should definitely flee from that situation.
Yeah, but why hasn't he done it yet?
Because he's 16 and he likes the hugs.
Well, then he's being a little bit duplicitous about the matter. This is creeping me out. It makes me feel good.
He should wear a porcupine suit.
Well, it's also his mom's friend. So yeah. He's uncomfortable with the situation. I mean, how come, like he said, flip the situation, the young girls don't always run away from the creepy old guy at the same time. You know, they sit there and
think it's a graceful exit. They're not looking to make a scene.
Hey, man, Mike's advice is dude should wear a porcupine suit.
That was your advice?
That shut it right down.
So how does he approach this? Like, does he say?
Yeah, porcupine suit. I think I answered this already.
You're making me uncomfortable. That's why I wear the porcupine suit?
Yeah, put something sharp in your pocket. And then when she goes to hug on you, she'll go, ouch. And you're like, yeah, I keep sharp stuff on me.
Just shank her.
Yeah, shank.
Didn't you just shame a guy for passive aggressive type?
No, that's straight up aggressive. I keep sharp crap in my pocket. Stop hugging on me.
Don't mind the fish hooks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That was the best justification of an action I have ever heard in this show. Non-condoning passive aggressiveness. Mike goes, yeah, that's just straight up aggressive, which is the right way to do this. No, I agree with the observation, though. Is this gal doing it with a bunch of other people? Like, if so, maybe the dude needs to kind of take a step back. But ultimately, if he's uncomfortable, maybe he can bring it back up to his mom. Because it sounds like the conversation between him and this gal, I can't imagine that's going to go well. Like, I can't imagine this 16-year-old going, hey, old lady, you kind of creep me out with your extendo hugs. And I kind of get weirded out when you ask me about the date in life, and then I'm going to turn into a man. We're all completely aware of all those situations. We should just leave it alone. Like, I'm trying to think of a graceful way to do that. I can't think of one.
Just say, hey, I'm really not a hugger.
However, if he brings it up to his mom and says, I understand that you say that's just how she is, but I'm your son, and it is making me uncomfortable, and I would like for you to handle it. I think his mom should handle it.
I don't think it has to be all that hard. Like, I mean, you can call this passive-aggressive, but me in that situation, I would just get really standoffish, and all of a sudden, like, that person, if they are trying to be creepy, they're not getting that benefit out of it that they're looking for anymore, and so they stop. And
yeah. Some people are just trying to relive their youth, right? Like that. Like she looks at the guy and like, hey, you know, you're growing up to be a man. I remember when I used to date. You got a lot of promise coming up. You know what I'm saying? She's not. Doesn't sound like she's probably trying to be overly creepy.
Yeah, I think he's over sexualized.
But a sharp object, it fixed the whole thing.
I mean, I feel like if it's something that's creeping you out, I feel like you just need to say that.
Yeah.
Hi, hey, this is actually kind of weirding me out.
Do you think a 16-year-old dude is going to do that, though? Like, actually do it?
Well, here's the thing. If the situation he's describing, if he wants it to stop, I feel like that's the way to handle it. Like, here's the thing. It's like, a lot of times we try to solve our problems by finding a clever way to do it. Like, we're looking for the Jason Bourne answer, which we can, like, everything kind of all ties it up in the
75% of my life right now, Ben. So, yeah, keep
somebody
going.
Somebody didn't get their feelings hurt, and we kind of worked it all out where, like...
And you look cool in the process.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Like, if you're uncomfortable, and you can't... And if she's just being nice, and you're being oversensitive to that, and you know that, then I feel like you have a reaction to that. If you feel like what she's doing is inappropriate or makes you feel uncomfortable, then I feel like we should just say that.
Okay.
Like I mean, I get that we feel like, oh, well, he won't do that. But we probably should be doing things like that, right? There's just no reason we're protecting the wrong things where truth doesn't get said or here's the deal is let's say I did that and that I was creeping somebody out and I didn't know it. I would really want to know that to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Ben, you creep me out.
Maybe I don't see myself in that way. I wouldn't have any idea that someone would feel creeped out because I gave them a hug.
Yeah.
I would like to know if that's creeping them out because I would stop.
Hey, you know what creeps me out? Naked Rodan showering. You know what I'm saying? That whole story creeps me out. I'd like you to stop it. There ain't no reason to tell people that stuff.
I shampoo 20 minutes in.
Hey, man, that's creepy. Stop it. I've come up with part two of Mike's original advice of porcupine suit.
Okay.
I say sharp object porcupine suit and then pretend like you're sick all the time and just start sneezing a lot. So every time she comes over there, she's like, hey, man, I'm going to hug that sneezing dude all the time. He never stops sneezing.
I mean, you could go in for the hug and then, like, say, oh, sorry about the body odor. I'm 16.
That's the truth. Stop wearing deodorant one Sunday. She's gone.
Or have an air horn.
That might backfire. She might just put on more.
Here's with Dan's situation. Right. You could bring a dart gun to church if you need to.
Tranquilize the woman.
Yeah, just in case you're being hugged by Wile E. Coyote.
You could also just go dead weight on her, you know?
Oh. Make some awkward noises.
Here's the deal. Here's the best one. You even make it a longer hug than the original extendo hug was.
You're like, right, I am becoming a man.
You try...
Oh, man. No. What?
You try and pull away.
Dan for the 2-point conversion.
You're right, Mrs. Gladwell. I am becoming a man.
No.
Thanks for being my mom's friend all these years and watching me grow up.
Just out of creeper.
He's 16. Give me 2 more years, Mrs. Gladwell.
In fact, are you on ChristianMingle.com?
Are you currently a part of some kind of dating service?
Look for the husky.
That's where You'd Be Surprised comes in. His dating profile says You'd Be Surprised.
All right, Secular says, let's see, the question was, any suggestions? Secular says, yeah, listen to your gut. Tell your mom her friend is coming across as creepy and scary. Because her behavior makes you uncomfortable, avoid physical contact with her by stepping back when she tries to hug you. Like you're moving out of the way for a booby trap or something. Yeah. Hey, woo. And if she brings up the subject of whether you're dating, change the subject. Lovely sermon, wasn't it, Mrs. Robinson? Then walk away. Why, yeah, man. Why did she have to use Mrs. Robinson as the name? That seems really
graduate.
So here's the basically Secular's advice is ignore the problem, act like a social fool, and then try to attempt what? Gracefully leave the room after you've ignored everything that just happened. Like you went into a room, three things happened, you make a comment that has nothing to do with any of the three things, and then you leave gracefully. That's the worst advice.
Here's the deal. How about them cubbies never works? It just doesn't. Hey, are you dating anybody? How about Tim Cubbies? Come on. Like, let's live in a world, all right? Here's the deal. First of all, what did she say? Did you say tell him that you're scared? Was that part of the advice? Hi, it scares me when we hug.
Like, you're scary and creepy.
Here's the deal. That's not fair. That is not fair to that woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you were uncomfortable with this and you didn't say anything, and now you're going to come up with, I'm scared that you're hugging me, that's an unfair thing to another human being. Like, if you would have been honest about this, you would have to put in the position to say this is freaking me out. This doesn't sound like a predator. This doesn't sound like a creepy dude in a bar hitting on a young woman. This is a nice old lady who seems to be giving hugs and potentially in a way that makes someone else uncomfortable. Like, if you didn't say anything about that, it is completely unfair to act like she's some sort of, like, I don't know, creeper. That's not fair. Give people the benefit of the doubt here, or at least give them a chance to act in the right way. He's not giving her the chance to do that, to hold her and say, by the way, you scare me with your hugs.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Mike and I want to pose a question.
Let's have it.
What if she is wearing some kind of, like, cheetah leotard? Does that automatically make it understandable to say that woman scares you?
I'm sorry, every week?
If there's a scarf.
Every week, yeah. She has a scheduled wardrobe, and Sunday is the cheetah leotard.
No, it's not scary. She loves the Bengals.
What?
No, the band, not the football team.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, what? That's she not hums, the same animal.
She hums Eternal Flame as she takes communion. That's what happens.
Yeah, like, she's creepy and scary, and you have every right to say, if someone is humming while taking communion, anything.
Hey, just because she
anything
doesn't live
by
your
the
life.
Bengals?
Eternal Flame, the presence of Jesus. God leads them through the desert by flame. Presence of God. Flame, spirits, done.
Weird.
That would be honestly creepy if you were 16 and that was happening. I mean,
I think you have to say something though. Like, she may or may not know that. It's unfair to be like. Here's the thing: is to say, hey, this is creepy and scary when you hug me like that.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Even if it's just a conversation between you and her,
just say, hey, I don't like that.
Yeah,
it makes me uncomfortable. It's not that, like creepy and scary.
I feel like that is worse.
Are loaded words. Saying something makes me uncomfortable is way different than you scare me because you hug. Come on.
Yeah,
that's overselling the problem. If it's uncomfortable, say, "Hey, this makes me uncomfortable. Let's shake hands."
Specifically, I mean, your cheetah leotard scares me.
I would just say, "Hey, I'm just really not a hugger." And I mean, I wouldn't make some big deal out of it, you know. Yeah, it's just like,
I mean, but that has to be true though, because like I do like to hug certain people, just not creepy people who extend a hug. So you can't tell a lie. You are a hugger, Dan.
You are indeed.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
And he might be a hugger too. Yeah.
See. You want one more, Ben, or are we done here?
All right, we got time for Wilbur.
Dear Life from the Path, I've been living with my boyfriend for several years, and he has
Stop
a habit. What happened?
Dan, do you want to field this one?
I already said my opinion.
Break up with you.
I've been living with my boyfriend for several years, and he has the habit of not locking the front door. Oh, man. Is this a guy thing? I have told him repeatedly that I don't feel safe when he does this.
Well, she doesn't. Never mind.
Yet every other morning, I wake up, and the front door is not locked. Exclamation point. I feel like a broken record. I'm irritated already. His response is, I'm here. Nothing is going to happen. He also doesn't lock the balcony door. Even though we are on the second floor, I still hate coming home to doors in the apartment that are unlocked. It makes me feel vulnerable. Am I overreacting? How can I talk to him about it without sounding like a nag? Here's the deal. Like, serious advice first. If you know this gal, and she has had some things happen in her life that just leads her to mistrust situations, and you're leaving the door unlocked, you're a clown.
Yeah.
Like, you're just a clown, right? Like, that's
security
the part of it. Now, this is hard for me to argue against, because I don't like any of my crap. I'd just rather have people take what they want and not break things. It's irritating. I'd rather have them just steal the car than break the window and get the stereo. Just Agreed. Open the door, take stereo.
Yeah.
I don't have to replace a window. That's irritating, right? And so, like, I agree with the dude on this thing, but if it is a serious your part of your deal, I'm going to ignore the fact that you are not married to this woman yet, because I feel like you're taking advantage of her anyway. But Part of that commitment that you're making to a woman when you agree to be in a relationship with her is to make her feel safe. That is your job. And if locking the door makes her feel safe, then you, sir, are going to do that. And it's a childish thing not to hold on to. I think she's overreacting. But it doesn't freaking matter. What matters is she wants to feel safe, and it takes you 2 seconds to provide that.
Yeah.
So actually, I feel like you're going to start locking the door.
Yeah, he's made it about him. Don't worry, babe, I'm here.
Right, yeah, exactly. Hey, Rambo, calm it down. I don't care how big you are. I'm the size of a truck, but if someone comes in with a gun, there's nothing I'm doing. Like, I don't care how safe you think you can make someone feel. If they're not currently feeling safe, make it so they feel safe.
Yeah, if that's
why is that difficult? Yeah. Like, I'm scared for the person who walks into my apartment when I'm in there, like, sleeping, because I'm going to walk out of my bedroom tired and angry, and I'm probably going to be very scary to them. I don't lock my doors. I don't do that. I'm the same way. I could care less. If you want to come in, I'm happy for you to sleep on my couch. I'm glad you had a warm place to sleep tonight. Welcome. I'll buy you breakfast. But if I've got a gal living with me that feels safer with the doors locked, I'm going to lock the doors. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Although, here's the thing. If you live on the second floor and you have a balcony door and somebody shimmies the wall and comes up to, I mean, I don't care whether that thing's locked or not. That's
Spider-Man
creepy.
Is getting his way in. It does not matter. He's getting in.
Yeah, that type of motivation. I feel like he's thought. He knows how to get in the.
He's
in
getting
the glass.
Whether it's that little plastic clip is not going to stop the ninja assassin that is currently making his way into your apartment.
Yeah. If he's going to shimmy the pipe, I feel like he's coming in.
Yeah, you might just want to open the door ahead of time.
Yeah,
I feel like he's going to etch glass it in a circle or something if you don't let him in.
They need to move by allowing him in with an unlocked door.
They're in a bad neighborhood. They need to get out of there.
Yeah,
I don't think the neighborhood's the issue.
There's ninjas all over the place.
I had no idea there's so many ninjas in this neighborhood.
You never know because you never see them.
They got to move on.
The realtor did not tell us this. Dang it, Bob. All right, here's what Secular says. You are not overreacting. Your boyfriend appears to be operating under the delusion that he is a superhero. Too often we see reports in the news about yet another tragedy after which a neighbor appears on camera saying, I don't understand it. Things like this don't happen in our neighborhood. Well, yeah, that happens all the time.
This seems like an over-exaggeration of life, but go ahead.
Every time I see a guy on the news, he's picking his nose. He's like, I was standing over here, and I saw the crime go down. I'm like, what? And then, like, I didn't do anything. I called the police, and then they showed up.
Hey, that's true. Every eyewitness is also a guy who didn't solve the problem.
Yeah, right.
You guys saw the whole thing.
It is. You're being interviewed by the news. You're basically admitting, you know what, I didn't do anything. I saw all this bad crap going down, and I thought, no way, I ain't getting involved in that.
I wrote everything down right here.
I saw a troop of ninjas make their way into this person's house, and then I realized there's nothing I can do in this situation.
That does seem like wisdom.
I'll just be an eyewitness account to this, because that's better than anything.
In fact, I unlock my door, figuring this is just going to be easier.
So can I make some inappropriate advice? Because this is all I really want to say to her. If I were writing the column, I'd say you need to lock your door until he locks his.
Ooh.
Oh. Tricky. Tricky.
Saying if she's that worried about it. I said it was inappropriate. Dad!
You can't respond. I'm sorry. I've just stepped in as the only... I'm the only girl in this room. I need some backup. But, no, I mean, like, not to be annoying and serious, but, like, just for her sake, she's asking, like, how to address this... You know, in the conversation with her boyfriend. So it's like, she needs to first let him know that she trusts him. Like, that's going to make the conversation go so much smoother.
That's a lie, though, isn't it?
No, but she does. No. Like, that's not the issue here. It's like, she doesn't have to distrust him to think that there's going to be things that he can't protect her from. So she needs to get that out of the way and be like, it's not that I don't trust you. It's that I have issues and I don't feel safe.
Yeah, but I feel like that's that is the dude's hang-up, not hers. He, regardless of what she thinks that's the case and says, it's not because I don't trust you, that's how he takes it. It's because you don't trust me. I'm not sure.
I'm just telling her how to not start a fight.
Like she's not going to get what she wants either.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong about that. I just feel like if a guy says, I won't lock this, if this lady says, you should lock the door, and he says, I'm not going to lock it because I'm here, babe. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if the problem's on his end, right? It's him that thinks you don't trust me. And
yeah, but you're not offering a reasonable solution either. She's offering a way to try to bring up the conversation and actually have it. You're
I'm saying the guy's stubborn.
Your solution is to get like six other dudes over there and beat the crap out of the man with a stick so why until is he stops acting them? Like a loser.
He is not honoring her. I mean,
I mean, it's true, but how often does, you know, an occasional slight happen in a relationship and the person doesn't realize they're doing it, you know?
Yeah, you,
I mean,
you don't give him the benefit you don't bail on the relationship just because he has no concept of safety.
Well, I think she was pretty clear, though. I really want the door locked. No. I don't feel safe. I don't care.
I mean, I don't know if I'd let him drive the kids around, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, you ride a bike over
there. I think that's what Dan's getting at. Like, is this not a kind of an indication of something where, like, I feel
major
like this
red
is
flag.
A problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, from his perspective, it's a problem on the scale of leaving the toilet seat up.
Right, but I
no, that's true.
I feel like if I'm her, though, that seems like a bigger problem to me.
Yeah, but you say that you're going to cut ties with everybody you ever met in the world? Yeah. You got to have some grace for some people.
Well, yeah, but not your husband, your future potential husband you want to marry.
If my wife does not have grace for me, that makes for a very miserable life.
No,
I think
I'm saying
you
this
have
is
to
before
have
you're married.
Yeah, you're stuck on that, Dan. I got that part.
Well, why would you stay with someone who doesn't care about you feeling safe?
Because they don't know. Because, well, first of all, we're looking at it at a perspective of we think that guy should be doing a better job. There is truth in that. He should be doing a better job. But he doesn't see it as big like that.
Right.
He
sees that's his problem. That's my point. She should see that's his problem. He doesn't see what's really important to her as important to him, so he doesn't care.
Yeah, but
that's a problem.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But that's an education problem. That's not
that's
a relationship
right.
problem.
But she it's educated an education him. Problem.
And he still doesn't care.
She hasn't educated him.
Yeah, so far it's been, hey, worked. I don't feel safe. Well, that's too bad. I'm here for your safety. And then that's the conversation.
Wait, so Mike, repeat the, reread her question.
Let's see. Am I overreacting? How can I talk to him about it without sounding like a nag?
Okay, I suppose that can imply that she hasn't really had a continued, like a, she hasn't brought this back up.
Right, if she really felt such a mortal danger, then she wouldn't care about the nagging issue. She's just trying to handle this gracefully.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's still in the education problem. It's not a relationship issue.
Also, at the same time,
three strikes.
I mean, dude is completely in the wrong here for that because he's not protecting her when she's asking for it. But why can't she also lock the doors before she goes to bed? I mean, unless she is doing that and he's going around and unlocking them, you know?
Well, it sounds like he gets in later than she does, based off the situation that was posed. Like, she wakes up in the morning and the doors aren't locked. Like, it sounds like he might be coming in later than she does.
Through both doors?
Yeah.
I think Eric's on to something. I think maybe he goes and unlocks the balcony just because he's a real Weisenheimer.
So if he does
that... So a troop of ninjas can come in? That's a dumb
Why
mistake.
Is the Foot Clan attacking this place? Is this April O'Neil's house?
It's April O'Neil's house.
I'm saying they need to move.
So it's Casey Jones. So
it's Casey and April.
Okay, that makes sense now.
In this situation, I completely agree with Casey. I think he can take care of her.
Yeah. Go Casey.
Yeah, that nerded out real bad. If any of you guys didn't just realize that was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just waiting for the 6-foot bunny with the samurai swords to show up. That's me.
Okay, right. Here's a secular says.
Usagi!
Mike, I need to take a shower and think on this.
Hey, man, I got to go get my porcupine suit on, all right? This is all I'm saying. I keep getting creepy hugs. Mike, what do you got?
Embarrassing.
Redeem it.
Secular says, you are not overreacting. Your boyfriend appears to be operating at, oh, we did this, that he's a superhero, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Because you haven't been able to
Casey
convince
Jones,
him
we established
to
that.
Change his ways. The solution to your problem is to take the initiative and lock the doors yourself.
Well, yeah, that's what Eric does.
Hey, you know what I do? I just put one of those electronic keypad locks on there and just don't tell him the combination. That way he can't get out either. And until he can figure out how to lock the doors, he ain't going nowhere.
All right, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight. Big thanks to Eric and Michelle. Thank you guys so much for hanging out.
Thank you.
Hey, don't miss that show. It's coming up on Wednesday. It's at Cross Community Church in Des Moines. And you can find more dates. You can find ways to support them. Pick up his music. Go to TeamKingMC.com. Also, you can find them on Facebook. And yeah. Just keep up to date with what they got going on. Lots of cool stuff going on in their world. And big thanks to Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team for sponsoring the show. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com for all your home buying and selling needs. Please be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.